Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 230. I'm Josiah Sat for the Villain on Twitter at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? I'm back one more week. I have a lot to go through, I think. I got some reviews, and let's just hit it. First of all, I'm going to hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 130, we entitled hashtag Pod101. At Mem the Veener and at For the Villain, get a great email and talk about a grip of hashtag podcasting and what to do and what not to do. I don't recall who it was, which podcast hit us up out of the blue and like, I want to start my own podcast. What should I do? Where do I start? What equipment should I use? What should I do? Everything. So Adam and I broke down the ins and outs and how it was a learning project for us. I mean, it was a hands-on thing, and you can only Google and YouTube so much. And I have helped out other podcasts start, and there are a few out there. And I like helping people. And the fact that there are so many podcasts out there already is pretty gnarly. Like, we're up episode 230 today. And the fact that we made it this far, dope as fuck. But that we weren't necessarily late to the party, but that so many podcasts are popping up is dope. And again, like, there's a weird vibe, and I'm going to be straight up with you guys. There's a weird vibe in the podcast community. There's a lot of people that want to help you out. And there's the flip side of the coin where there are a lot of podcasts that don't give a shit. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I support a lot of fucking podcasts that I do listen to. And I subscribe to a lot of my friends' podcasts, and I try to catch them when I can. As far as that goes, Adam and I have got fucked a few times by a few podcasts. They used us for numbers type of deal. And even though we helped them out in certain ways, we feel it's like, these motherfuckers. But we were never out for it anyways, so Adam's like, that's not right. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, dude. You know, who gives a shit? Like, we're not doing it as a popularity contest, you know? We're not about holding other fucking people down. That's not me anyways. That was never us to begin with. We like helping people out. So again, that's what we spoke about. And if there are any other people that do want to start a podcast, like, feel free to fucking hit me up. Like, it's not as hard as you guys think it would be. It's a lot of time. It can be confusing and difficult at times, especially doing everything by yourself. So yeah, if you guys need help or have questions, feel free to pick my fucking brain anytime you want or need to. Again, I always encourage everyone to get behind a mic. It's therapeutic. It's fun. Everyone can do it. Anyone can do it. So that's what we hit. What not to do. We hit comic talk, comic news, Batman versus Superman chat, Star Trek revival, latest Daredevil trailer, new Iron Fist, Danny Rand casting. We hit DC Comics All Access app and Marvel releasing Guardians of the Galaxy comic for children's hospitals across the U.S. Interesting and cool news there. We hit comic reviews, Deadpool Volume 1, Dead President's Trade paperback. I believe Adam reviewed that. We hit Scalped Hardback number 12. That should have probably been Adam. Transformers Autocracy. This was definitely me. Transformers Autocracy trade paperback, which was book of the week. Those are great trade paperbacks. Those are solid just trades, and you guys would enjoy them. There was a bunch of them. This one was Autocracy. Those titles are fucking dope as fuck, and the art is amazing. You guys would enjoy those. So that's what we hit 100 episodes ago. Very interesting about the Pod 101. I kind of like that already. I don't have too many bullet points, but I'm going to talk about jumping into a new car, guys, again. I believe I entitled another episode New Ride, hashtag New Ride. I think it was like episode 191, 92, 193, around there, where it was hashtag New Ride, where I had some panhandler ask me for change on her fucking her fucking wheelchair. My bad, guys. So, yes, I ended up trying to avoid her when I got out because I didn't pull out cash to give her or change. I didn't have anything on me. I kind of had to army crawl it to a car that I thought was mine, and that legit happened. That's a funny story. Listen to that one, hashtag new ride 191, 92, 93 again. Guess what, guys? It happened again. So saw the morning games on Sunday with my friend, and we did lunch. We saw the morning games. I had a few drinks, and it was my nephew's birthday last week, and I was going to see him Sunday that day. So I went to go buy him his birthday present. I went to Downtown Disney, which is not far from where I live. And I was thinking, let's go to Target. And my friend's like, well, I've got to bounce. It's like, well, okay, cool. I got my shit to do too. I'm going to buy my nephew, you know, his birthday present. She's like, cool. You mind if I go? No, dude, fucking swing on by. Let's go to Downtown Disney. So we get there, in and out, go to the Lego store, go back to my car. I'm like, do you remember where I parked? She goes, yeah, it's this aisle. She goes, that's your ass sticking out right there, the ass of your car. I'm like, dope, you know my car. So I click my fucking my alarm off, and the lights go off. And I'm a gentleman. I open up the door for my homegirl, my friend. And she gets in, and I go around, open up the door, jump on in. As soon as I sit down, I'm like, oh, fuck me. I say out loud, this isn't. And then as soon as I said, she goes, this isn't your car. As I said the same thing, this is not my car. She's like, let's get the fuck out of here right now. Weird, because as soon as I open my door to my car, I look at the car to my left and I'm like, that kind of looks like my car. No joke, guys. It's the same fucking car. And I don't know how it happened. Who doesn't lock their fucking car doors, first of all? It happened again, and it's very fucking stupid, and it's very cheesy. You have to be very fucking smooth to pull this off twice, and apparently by now, I have. It sounds terrible. Officer, my bad, dude. It's the same officer, because it's still in Anaheim. Funny story. Remember last time I told you this never happens to me? Yeah, Muscoozy. So that happened to me. I thought that was fucking hilarious. I thought I would share that with you. So now, because of this, I'm going to talk about a conversation RG and Victoria and I have at the office. And we always talk about useless superpower abilities. So RG has a few good ones I would love for him to tell you. He said he used to work at a grocery store way back in the day, and like he can stop shopping carts with his mind. Go figure, right? Victoria's, I forget what hers are. Mine are, I can make things randomly materialize. I know it sounds stupid. So I can talk about a movie or a song somehow, and it'll end up playing eventually, like within that same day, which again doesn't sound that odd. But again, making things materialize is to go one step further. Is when I'm writing, if I have background noise on, whether it be the TV, whether I have music playing in the background, for some reason I'm writing a sentence, a word or phrase, and the words pop up in the song or TV show or movie that I happen to be writing. That happens a lot to me. So making things materialize is just very stupid, odd, useless superpower ability. If you've noticed these weird, subtle, insanely stupid nuances in your life, please share with me yours. What are your useless superpower abilities, guys? Like, whatever they might be. I want the cheesiest ones out there and things that you notice, like, holy shit, this is a thing. And if it's not a thing, we're going to make it a thing. We're going to make, hopefully, give you guys some thoughts like, holy shit, Josias is fucking right. It happened to me. So that's it. And apparently my third useless superpower is going to be that I can now break into cars. So I am Lex fucking Luthor or Joker. I don't know. Emergency room store. Do I want to go there? Fuck my life, dude. Thought about it, and no. As much as I would love to go there, I think I vented with the coworkers today. I had to leave the office early yesterday for some personal issues, and I just had a bad day, guys. Like, I can't even complain, but lots of back and forth, and it fucking sucked. So, that's all I got for that. Give me a few minutes. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, and I'm back with some comic talk. All right, guys, these first two are going to be back-to-back zombie news. AMC has plans for at least another decade of The Walking Dead. How do you guys feel about that? It's a Robert Kirkman project. He's a legit comic book writer. But yeah, they have a decade's worth of stories, quote-unquote, to tell. Zombieland 2 starts production in January 2019. I really enjoyed part one, although I really despise, for some reason, what's-his-face, who played Lex fucking Luthor, who I just spoke about. That dude, I hate his guts. He's a shitty actor. I want to punch him in the face. So who's the real Lex Luthor? Walking Dead movies, TV spinoff planned by AMC, so hence part of their 10 years to go. I've only seen the first two seasons, honestly. I guess I really don't give a shit, is what I'm saying. Saw the first two, seasons, and I stopped watching TV. That's just me. If you guys are into it, dope. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but that's all I got with that. Ryan Coogler and LeBron James team up for Space Jam sequel. Is it necessary? No, but I loved the world, so to see it now reimagined, sequel doesn't sound terrible either. Jordan Peele to host Twilight Zone reboot for CBS All Access. Comedian Jordan Peele, the acclaimed writer and director of Get Out, will host and narrate the new Twilight Zone series for CBS All Access. I loved the fuck out of the Twilight Zone, so if you can bring a different take to it, I would love the fuck out of it. Next one's going to be Solo, a Star Wars story, unlikely to get sequel. This one kind of pisses me off because I enjoyed the movie. I know a lot of people didn't, and I kind of understand the backlash. But the fact, I don't know if I want to spoil it. The end was like, give me more of that guy at the end. I want to see him in more things. So yeah. Solo a Star Wars follows the adventures of young Han Solo. The film is currently the least successful in the Star Wars franchise, despite having earned almost $393 million worldwide. The spinoff movie, which also received mixed critical reception, may have still lost Disney over $50 million. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. Rumor, Venom's PG-13 rating may have everything to do with Spider-Man. Contrary to long-running speculation, director Ruben Fleischer's Venom has received a PG-13 rating from the MPAA instead of the widely anticipated R. While many fans are undoubtedly disappointed that Tom Hardy's debut as Eddie Brock won't be as gruesome or violent as they'd hoped, the reason behind Sony's decision is apparently obvious. Spider-Man, citing unnamed sources. So, it kind of makes sense. PG-13 and I love the fuck out of Venom, and I don't want that movie to suck, but if they are ever going to cross over, they kind of really need to. Still speaking of Venom, Venom director all but confirms post-credits scene, so I guess stick around for that one, guys. Next one's going to be Avengers Infinity War finishes box office run with fourth highest gross ever. Avengers Infinity War has finished its box office run, becoming the fourth highest grossing film ever in the process. Infinity War ended its run, having earned slightly over $678 million domestically. So that's pretty fucking dope. The Force Awakens is number one, Avatar is in second place, and The Black Panther is in third place. So not bad, good company. Funny how most of those are Marvel / Disney properties, I guess. Next one's going to be Wonder Woman writer developing female Marvel superhero series at ABC. So that's going to happen, and as of yet, they have not disclosed which females they are going to use. I love the fuck out of Marvel, and you know what? DC Television is doing great, so you know what? Give me more of that. Next one's going to be Daredevil Season 3 release date confirmed with a new teaser. The date of Season 3 of Daredevil is going to be Friday, October 19th, 2 days after my birthday. So I had to plug that. Feel free to send all shipments to... No, I'm just kidding. Captain Marvel finally soars in with a teaser trailer. So the Captain Marvel trailer dropped, I believe, this Tuesday. It looks good. I really enjoyed it. I should have probably tossed it in for you guys right now, which 3, 2, 1's not going to happen. But it's a dope fucking trailer. Just pull up Captain Marvel trailer if you guys haven't seen it. It's really dope. She's a rich character. I know they have to redo, reimagine her origin because part of her story also takes place with the X-Men Rogue. So, yeah, I'm still down for it. Next one's going to be Loki and Scarlet Witch to star in their own shows on Disney streaming service. Disney is going to come out with their own streaming service. And these are two characters that are going to do. In a bombshell move, Disney will expand upon some of its most popular characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe with this forthcoming streaming service, Disney Play. As reported by Variety, Disney is developing a slew of Marvel Studios projects, which would include both a Loki and Scarlet Witch television series. As though that weren't enough, the report claims the streaming service will serve as home to series for other MCU characters that have yet to appear in their own solo films. I would love so many more characters to come. So, Elizabeth Olsen and Tom Hiddleston are expected to reprise their roles as Scarlet Witch and Loki, respectively. While these projects are still in their early stages, each series is expected to receive between 6 to 8 episodes. Yes, give me more of that. Still speaking of Marvel, Marvel's Kevin Feige confirmed to oversee Disney's X-Men films. So they're still working on the merger, all the legal bullshit, all the paperwork, all the signing, and that he's been somewhat the puppet master behind the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know what? Yes, please give me him on board for that. All right, guys, I'm going to hit now some comic reviews. I'm going to start off with some DC. I'm going to hit Batman number 52, Cold Days. Tom King is the writer, Lee Weeks is the artist, Elizabeth Breitweiser is the inker. It starts off with a jury from last time, I believe I reviewed this, with a jury going over the case from the prior issue. Mr. Freeze is on trial for murdering 3 women. As they go after the facts, or go over the facts, they try to figure out the best course of action. The funny thing is, though, that Freeze has already signed a confession. So it's very cool to see the odd flip-flop in this. So Batman put him in this position now. But now Bruce is on the jury, and he's kind of fighting for Freeze's freedom. Especially now after some self-reflection, like, fuck, I went too far. And knowing, you know, he did take it that far. But it's also cool now to see the jury, like, fight for Batman's side. So Freeze is a villain, so why not put him away, is what the rest of the jury is about. Bruce says, why did the Gotham City Police Department miss something that Batman caught? And then the people are like, because he's better, he's Batman, like, he's the protector of Gotham, and how can he fuck up? And the people have faith in the Batman, and Batman in general. So now looking at things from the other side, we see how passionate Bruce becomes over disproving himself, essentially, disproving Batman, and the theory, and like, we're missing something. What did Batman miss? So now as they continue going over what happened, they now break down Mr. Freeze's point of view. So how he was on parole, and how he risked that because he was told by someone, by an unknown source, that the Batman was after him. So he wanted to be prepared if he needed to defend himself against Batman, which prior issue, he beats the shit out of Mr. Freeze, and he's like, even says, like, I was afraid he was going to kill me. We expect him to do what? To wait, to talk, to sit at home. This is Bruce talking about Batman. To sit at home hoping Batman wants to have a discussion, I guess, talking about Freeze, anticipating Batman coming after him. What evidence is there he shouldn't have been prepared for another fight? Why would someone confess, keep confessing, even long after any threat was gone? So again, Bruce disproving Batman. You're saying that Batman is wrong. Okay, so no comparing what he went through as a child. Like, you know what? Like, this is what happened to me as a kid, and I felt alone, and you know what? Sometimes you just feel vulnerable, and maybe Freeze felt that. So that he's comparing the two even now. Like, we can't incarcerate this guy, and he does feel guilty as a man. Like, oh, fuck, I went too far. And he's trying to get him off the hook now, which is odd to see, but again, it's interesting. So, very cool. Now, that's when the people say, that Batman is wrong or bad or incompetent. He's horrible. That's pretty much what it is. You're saying Batman is not the hero we Gotham thinks he is. So it's very cool. Again, I like the story of how would it's very self-reflective, and that's what he really has to do. Batman went too far, and as a man, as Bruce Wayne, he knows, like, fuck, I really have to make amends for this. So I really like that. Tom King's a fucking stud writer. And the art, Lee Weeks, is fucking dope as hell. I'm going to go Marvel now. These next two are going to be hopefully quick run-throughs. Cosmic Ghost Rider number 3. Donny Cates is the writer. Dylan Burnett is the artist. Antonio Fabella and Elizabeth Breitweiser, again, is the colorist. Interesting. Cosmic Ghost Rider and Baby Thanos now are on the run from the Guardians of the Galaxy that happen to be led by Cable in this incarnation. This comic shouldn't be as funny or as violent as it is, but it's really fucking cool. Baby Thanos asks him, why do you run? Can you not kill these people? And Cosmic Ghost Rider says, and this is Frank Castle, by the way, says, I could kill all of them just so easily. I'm trying real hard to not do the violent stuff in front of you. So again, he wanted to kill, essentially, Baby Thanos. He didn't have the balls to, so now he's kind of trying to erase him. Lots of fucking shit happens. It sounds like a repeat of just the comic. Cable shows up with the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Cosmic Ghost Rider rips through them. Cable has the ability to teleport and time jump. Body slide by one. So he gets whatever members of the Guardians that survive out. He comes back and he's like body slide by 10. So they get their asses kicked. The next 10, which are Avengers, X-Men mixed up. Body slide by 1, he gets himself out again. Body slide by 20. So every time Cable comes back, literally it's with a bigger army. And Cosmic Ghost Rider is just ripping these fuckers up. Body slide by 1. So he's getting his ass kicked. Cable each time he body slides, jumps in and out. But he's always bringing more people. Body slide by 50. Now he brings 50 Avengers, Spider-Man, every fucking buddy. And Cosmic Ghost Rider keeps fucking killing everyone. Like, it's, again, very violent. It shouldn't be this good and terrible. And it's really cool now because we just see lots of death and lots of blood and lots of Avengers and lots of Marvel characters just in general dying. And I enjoy it. He tosses Uatu, Baby Thanos, so he can go to work. And that's exactly what it is. He's like, you don't understand, Frank. The Thanos you raise, you think you know, but you don't. He's worse. Oh, my God. He's so much worse. Please, Frank, you have to. And this is Cable talking to him as he finally gets shot, Cable. And the odd thing about this is the person that kills point-blank Cable is an older version of some character. He says, hey, Dad, sorry I'm late. And it's Thanos in a Punisher shirt, like guns ready to go to work. It's an interesting take on Cosmic Ghost Rider should not be a thing. It's going to be a 6-issue arc, and it's enjoyable. The art goes so well with the grittiness of the writing from Donny Cates, and he's probably, again, one of my favorite writers for Marvel right now. Speaking of Donny Cates, my last review is going to be Venom number 6. Donny Cates is the writer. Ryan Stegman's the art. I love the fuck out of his art. And J.P. Mayer is the inker. So prior issue, Venom absorbed Rex Strickland's symbiote into his own, where they ended up in a bunker where we learned that Rex Strickland had been saving anti-symbiote weaponry. So it just starts off now with some sick panels of Venom stocking up. And these panels from Ryan Stegman are just fucking dope. So we really see the symbiote using, like, tentacles to grab all sorts of ammunition, guns, the way he's storing them on his shoulder like a cannon, the way he's grabbing knives, swords, guns, dynamite, just grenades. The way Venom looks is fucking sick. And so now it's really cool because we get this odd... Okay, first of all, the panels are fucking sick. So again, it's dope to see how now we see Venom's symbiote, Rex's symbiote, and Eddie's thoughts all interact pretty much together, and how we see Rex is able to see and feel all of Eddie Brock's pent up pain. He's like, sorry, kid, your mind is an open wound. My species is built to expand inside of your psyche and fix any problems we can. And Eddie's like, get the fuck out of my head. So now we finally see them carry on the mission, which is to kill Null, which they go to work quickly to do. And like, Rex uses some sort of ability he has to, I guess, call Null and his Grendel like dragon creature to them, where once they show up, they start scrapping. And these pages, Ryan Stegman, again, his art is gorgeous. This title is dope. It's fun. And it's kind of sad, dude. And just, we see some dope and yet simple panels from Ryan Stegman. Like, pay attention to the small details. And it finally comes down to the fight now between Eddie Brock uses some grenades to kind of defuse the, I guess, Grendel symbiote that Null's using. And now we see the one-on-one fight between Null and Venom. We get some more killer pages and panels of this scrap now. So it's just dope to see this these action sequences now. And we then come across Rex making a huge sacrifice. And also Eddie doing what he needs to do as well. So great little fight scenes back and forth. And there comes a point where Rex Strickland's symbiote kind of wraps around Null. And he's like, Eddie, do it. And Eddie Brock, literally in his Venom symbiote costume, throws them both, Null and Rex, into a furnace. And this is fucking dope and beautiful and sad to see. And you can see the way Ryan Stegman puts a lot of passion into his work. And I always love the fuck at it. So we see what Eddie needs to do. And he tosses them in the furnace. And Eddie Brock holds his back towards the furnace to hold these two symbiote creatures in. Symbiotes normally are terrible with fire. And these pages, these panels are fucking dope. Because now we see Eddie Brock's, or Venom's, back. We see the symbiote kind of react to the fire like, ooh, no, this is not good for us. But because the Venom symbiote is detaching from Eddie, we see Eddie Brock's back catch on fire. And this is where we get this dope scene. He's like, I have to hold. I have to. The symbiote says, Eddie, the fire. Eddie, I can't protect you. You're burning, Eddie. And it's cool because these panels, like, we see the symbiote trying to grab Eddie, like, pull him, like, dude, this is stupid. What the fuck are you doing? Don't do this. You're burning, Eddie. And it's really cool. He's like, I can't protect you. You're burning, Eddie. We can't take more of this. We'll die. And then we see, again, still the symbiote trying to pull Eddie Brock to safety. And then we see Eddie, and he tells the symbiote, go inside. I'll protect you. Turn off all my pain receptors. Symbiote says, but Eddie. He's like, now. And it's really cool. The symbiote kind of enters. We're used to seeing the symbiote outside, external, on characters. This is one of the first times, I want to say, where I've seen the symbiote enter and, I guess, look internal. So Eddie Brock's eyes black out. And like he just told the symbiote, turn off all my pain receptors so we can make sure that this fucker dies. Null dies. So it's cool because now we see the symbiote. Eddie, there's so much pain inside of you. I can't fix it all. It's too much. We cannot come back from this. He's like, and then that's pretty much Eddie Brock goes down, and the symbiote, the Rex Strickland and the Null look like they're destroyed. And poor Eddie is on fire. His hair is singed up. His back's burnt up. He falls to the ground. And this is kind of cool. He's like, the symbiote now says once more after they all go to work, they all got their asses kicked. Where the symbiote now again tells him, I'm sorry, Eddie. It was too much. We were still connected. I should have told you. Eddie's like, what? Like, I can't hear you. Like, you're getting faint, type of deal. Like, he can't hear the symbiote that he is so accustomed to. He's like, what? And then the symbiote says, I love you, Eddie. And we see a bloodied up, burnt up Eddie Brock on the ground. And it's awesome to see, like, the symbiote looks like a blood stain, a blood splatter around him. And that's how the fucking comic ends. I love the fuck out of Venom. I love the fuck out of Eddie Brock. I want the movie to do well, but even if the movie sucks, I have source material that I know. And this version, the fact that the past few years they've been giving the symbiote a voice, like it is a character and it has feelings and it has emotions, is really dope to read. And Donny Cates has been killing it, and I love the fuck out of it. And that was a great read. I don't know if it's an ongoing. It's got to be an ongoing, but I don't see where or how his symbiote that he's, again, accustomed to, used to, they talk to each other. And it's kind of, I don't want to say a dog or a pet, but man's best friend, I guess, type of deal. So essentially, yeah, it is a character. So I loved the fuck out of it. That was probably my book of the week. And if you guys want, this is issue number 6. Like, I can shoot you where those are at. If any of these reviews sounded good, it's even Cosmic Ghost Rider is fun and terrible, but it's so fucking gnarly, and I love the fuck out of it. All right, guys, that's all I got this week. It's a short show. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I'm about to watch some football. I've had it on in the background. You guys have been awesome. The numbers are going up. If you guys ever need me to hit me up, reach out to me, feel free to do so. You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. You guys can also find me at comic_syndicate1 on Twitter. And yeah, subscribe to the podcast again in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts, and share the podcast more than anything. I totally appreciate it. You guys are rad and awesome. All right, guys, that's all I got. I'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.